At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Messi has just been Zlatan.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Hey, THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Get a quote, get on your way to home theater installation. 4K video technology, you need it for the World Cup. THS can do it all, including that great home theater. I'm giving you the personal number of Jesse, 281-506-7822. His website, www.ths3inc.com. Jesse will come out. He'll give you a free quote, 281-506-7822. And I remind you again, we thank the Texas Children's Hospital, all the great people down at the Texas Children's Hospital, the largest pediatric cancer center in the country, over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials, all dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. They've been doing this for 60 years. I've seen amazing things down at the Texas Children's Hospital, and we are really proud to be associated and tied into the Texas Children's Hospital, who are the presenting sponsors of our number one. I believe this is... I hope this is spelled right. All right, let's just go to the caller. I'm going to ask him what his name is, because I've never heard this.
You there?
Yeah, caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, it's Graylin. Thanks for asking.
Graylin, how are you, buddy? I wanted to make sure I pronounced it correctly. What's going on? You got a thought on Cristiano Ronaldo, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you mentioned kind of sort of obliquely his attitude. And I think you can kind of make a big deal out of that. I don't know if you remember his, you know, the Euro Portugal and France game, but his team really did seem to play a little bit better without him, at least as far as their interplay went.
Oh, they won the Euros without Ronaldo's influence. I don't think there's any question. I mean, that was about a collective effort from Portugal, and I think that's what you're going to get again from them in the World Cup, and you're going to hope you're going to get some great moments from Ronaldo as well.
Yeah, and I think he'll pull it out too.
Think he's going to have a great World Cup?
I don't know about great. I mean, he's 33 or 34 years old, and if you're seeing a guy that old have a great World Cup on the attacking end, there's something. Maybe he'll have a couple of moments. He's never going to be slow. He's never going to be unskilled.
Well, no, he's actually lost some pace. He's not a slashing guy that runs past people anymore. I mean, that's very obvious. We've all seen that. So he's still an amazing athlete. He still has incredible awareness. He still has incredible finishing skills, and he can leap like a salmon in the Pacific Northwest. I don't think there's any question.
No.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate that phone call. We appreciate that. 713-780-3776. So a couple of things going on here right now. I'm going to throw to Bobby Moffitt. Now, Bobby Moffitt is organizing. The North American Soccer League is a big part of the sport in this country and the history of the sport in this country. And a lot of the ex-North American Soccer League players went on to coach in communities, including Dallas, where Bobby Moffitt did a whole bunch of coaching education, working with kids, tours, But he also played in the North American Soccer League, and he played in the infamous first game when Pelé came to America. And he is organizing, coming up in October, an NASL reunion. Here's my interview with Bobby Moffitt. And before I throw to it, right now, the fifth caller, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo LAFC match. Fifth caller, here is the interview with Bobby Moffitt. It is coming. Three.
Well, Bobby, the first thing I want to get into is you've organized something that's very important. And again, I'm going to remind our listeners that the North American Soccer League had such a big part of the history of soccer in this country. And it branches off in a number of ways. And I can only say that when I was a kid, I was going to Cosmo games, and it had a huge influence on me. But a man that played in the league for the Dallas Tornado, you are something special. And you have helped facilitate so many things at so many levels in this sport in this country. And here you are setting up an NASL 50th reunion sort of game and weekend. What is this about, Bobby? And just tell us a little bit of information about it.
But the NASL was a unique league. It was the first coast-to-coast league in North America, Canada, and the United States, and it sowed the seeds for the game. Unfortunately, although it failed financially, it was a success by spreading everything, but not many people remember it. There won't be many more events held, I don't think, nothing like we're trying to do now, the last major event, NASL event. And it needs to be celebrated, and it was a precursor, many have said, for the EPL in England, and it was a wonderful league for a long time. It brought some of the greatest players ever to the league, Cruyff, Pelé, Best, Moore, Beckenbauer, it just goes on and on. It needs to be celebrated.
NASL50th.com. That's where you can get information on this. This is going to be October 19th, 20th, and 21st in Frisco, Texas. It's a weekend full of events. These players are going to be there. They're going to play in a game on the 21st after an FC Dallas game. It's going to be pretty remarkable. I go back to an iconic picture I saw with Pelé on his first ever game at Randall's Island, Downing Stadium in New York. I remember as a kid watching this on TV. I remember the field being pretty beat up. Pelé is out there, and I see a jersey Dallas Tornado, and it says Moffitt on the back. Take me back to that day and what that meant to you personally, being on the field where the legendary Pelé played his first ever game in America.
It was a magic day, and we started off in San Antonio, where we had played the evening before. We flew into New York. We got transferred to Randall's Island. We were given some sandwiches. We walked on the field, and there were people spraying green paint onto the dirt. And I said to the fellow, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm spraying this on the grass." I said, "It's not grass, it's dirt." He said, "No, it's NBC. It's grass." And we had lots of that on us when we finished the game. Once Pelé came out, I mean, everybody loved the man. I first saw him on 1958 in a TV screen in Scotland, Edinburgh, and when he was, 17, 18, playing in his first World Cup, and to actually play on the same field was great. He was obviously not as fit as he would be, but he was a consummate player. He did the simple things automatically, and only did the tough things, the great things, when he really needed to. He's a very much a team player, and he was very kind. He wasn't trying to hurt you. We went two up, they scored two goals, and when he scored his first goal, the fans just came onto the field, as you would remember, for that game. And that game is available on the internet, by the way. Just clock that in, Pelé, in 1975, Cosmos Tornado game, and people can actually get that. The game ended 2-0, and afterwards we had a wonderful time talking to the players. He was mobbed afterwards. One of our players, Tommy Gore, got his shirt. He gave it to Tommy. I was the nearest person. I didn't think of it. The shirt was snatched by somebody who started to run away. New York's finest caught him and returned the shirt to Tommy Gore. I mean, it was just a day of memory.
Unbelievable.
It was wonderful.
That's a great story right there. I don't think many people have heard that. He's Bobby Moffitt. He's joining us, played in the NASL, but has been a coach, educator, you name it. He's done it here in America. He's organizing what is a wonderful event, the NASL 50th reunion. It's NASL50th.com. It'll be October 19th, 2021
in Frisco, Texas. And if I don't have a game that weekend, I'm going to make my way up there.
So I've got your book. You better be there.
Yes. So that's good. And I want to be there, Bobby. What's amazing is the Cosmos start at Downing, Stadium, Randall's Island, older stadium. They moved to Yankee Stadium. Then they moved to the Meadowlands, where all of a sudden they're drawing these monstrous crowds. They're owned by Warner Brothers. 75,000 are coming. I remember going to these games. Robert Redford, Mick Jagger, Muhammad Ali, Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin. They're all coming to the games. It's an amazing ascent in a short amount of time, isn't it?
It really was. It was a confluence of movie land in a way, and the big push that was put on. You had Mr. Kissinger, who actually was responsible in some way to get Pelé to come to the United States. I think Claude Toy's famous words, the GM of the Cosmos, was, "You can go to Italy or Spain and win a tournament or win a league. You can come to North America and win a continent." And I think that really resonated with Pelé, who was very proud of what he achieved here. We have invited him to come to this event. We've also invited Hugo Sanchez, and we're trying to get Alex Stepney and a few other people to come. Some of them might even be able to play in our game.
Yeah, Alex Stepney is going to actually be here in Houston, and we're hoping you're going to come down for his visit for pediatric cancer. But he was a Dallas Tornado player as well, played in the Astrodome. But, I'm sitting here going, that's literally 2 years later. The likes of Beckenbauer, the likes of Carlos Alberto, World Cup winners are all coming to the New York Cosmos. And, what people don't remember is soccer's not being played in the suburbs at that time. It's all around New York and major cities with ethnic groups. So very, very different. And then guys like yourselves in Dallas, I mean, this is another thing. You guys with the Dallas Tornado and you in a very big way, Bobby, you guys get into the grassroots community and help to grow the game off the field.
I think that's the most important thing. When we came here, Ron Newman said, "You're 50% players, you're 50% ambassadors." And I've just written a book. I've got to plug it, called The NASL Experience, and it's all in there. But we went out into the communities. We did crazy things to get advertising. But we had personalities that went out and made it a fun experience to play the game. And it was very interesting going up against the baseball and the basketball and the football people, who obviously didn't like us taking away some of the players. But it just grew exponentially. I mean, at one time, within a five-year period, I came in 1970, joined them in 69. We had over 65,000 people playing in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It was just phenomenal. And we were part of the community.
Yeah, that's another thing that people need to be reminded of all these players like yourselves who really took to just growing the grassroots part of this game. And without guys like yourself, I don't know where the sport would be in this country right now, quite frankly.
I think that's a good argument, and I think it's very accurate. We did really buy into it, because don't forget, most of the players that came over here until the 75, 76 were not star players. They were players who were not pretty good players, but they also had a bit of personality. They could go out there and spread the game and in the schools and talk to the people on the weekends and go to the games and see how things are going on. And that morphed into the club system. It morphed into the camps you had in the summer and so on and so forth. All of a sudden, the game has established itself. And it's very sad that it went the way it did. But Tel Aviv, that's what happens when you're not well financed and organized. And Phil Woosnam was very evangelical, and he would go out there and spread the word. And I think sometimes he spread the word to clubs that weren't financially able to join the league, just to get the numbers up. And lovely man, Phil. I think he'd acknowledge that if he was still with us.
He's Bobby Moffitt joining us here, played in the North American Soccer League. But listen, you have spent a large majority of your life promoting the game. You ran camps, you ran tours overseas. You were at the forefront of all of that way, way back. I can remember this. I remember the advertisements for your camps. You've spent a lot of your life lighting the fire of passion under young people.
Tried to. And
I think you were successful, Bobby.
Wonderful.
I think you've been successful at it. So don't say tried to. I think you succeeded.
Well, thank you.
So just talk about that, because that's being on all the time. That's being a Pied Piper. That's being a pioneer. That's consistently trying to get people motivated about the sport. And you were doing it at a time when it was not easy sometimes to get people motivated.
Yeah, we did have some interesting experiences. I know one time Kenny Cooper told me, the goalkeeper for the Tornado, the players went out at Franklin Field, which was a high school stadium that we played at when I first came, in 70-71, and they offered tickets to the people that were in the houses around there who were complaining. And one guy said, "I don't give a so-and-so about soccer," and threw the tickets back to Kenny.
Yeah.
So Kenny knocked on the next door and gave them to those people. But that year, we left for Texas Stadium. They found a clause that said they couldn't be a professional team in the area of a high school within so many yards, an ordinance that was either found or written up. Anyway, we went to Texas Stadium from 72 to 75, and we had some wonderful... I mean, we played the Moscow Dynamo there, had 24,000 people, and it was a wonderful week-long event. Palais came there in 75 and played the second part. After we had played him in New York at Randall's Island, he came to Dallas and we had 26,000 there. I mean, it was another week of celebrations and so on. So then we moved in 76 until 1979 to Allby Stadium. We built our own stadium on top of the existing SMU campus stadium. And we had some wonderful times there. It was the perfect size for the game, 21,000 people. And we played Manchester United there, Pelé played there. It was just a wonderful experience to do that. And there are happy memories, of course. And that's the type of thing that we'll be talking about when we have our get-together in October.
He's Bobby Moffitt. He's done it at every level of the game. He is now organizing the NASL 50th reunion. It's NASL50th.com. It'll start with a press conference on the 19th of October. Then it goes to a luncheon on the 20th and a Legends game on the 21st, immediately after FC Dallas against Kansas City. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate it, and we look forward to not only you coming down here and seeing you for the Alex Stepney event, but also getting up to the NASL 50th reunion.
Glenn, it's been a great pleasure. Keep on with the good work.
That's Bobby Moffitt. Moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They are our second hour sponsor. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit showed up at the FM Kitchen party, which was awesome. I mean, I had three of my sponsors out there. My sponsors are soccer people, baby. They're soccer people. 713-322-4878. They're bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, they're going to have you covered. The Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. That firm is going to work for you 24/7, nights and week. 713-32-HURT. Or go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. Also, the Gorgeous Gale, the Irish pub with an Irish feel, is in West University. Now listen, we're having 7 live shows at the Gorgeous Gale during the World Cup. And we're going to be riding the Soca train right over to Peter, 5555 Morningside, the Gorgeous Gale, 7 live World Cup shows. We are going to party over there. We're going to enjoy the World Cup, and we're going to do it Soccer Matters style. TheGorgeousGale.com. Caller number 4 right now. You got tickets to the Dynamo LAFC. And when we come back, we will talk more when it comes to the best in soccer talk on ESPN 97.5. It's Soccer Matters.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a moment here now for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now,
They are the presenting sponsors of the second hour here. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. Go to DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual, and you can call them at 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. Now, nobody wants to get in an accident. It might be a car, boat, motorcycle. You may work in a plant or a refinery. You may drive an 18-wheeler. It's not a good time, and you need good representation. The Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit, they're going to treat your case as if it's their own, and they're going to do that 24-7 nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. Go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. By the way, John was out at the Champions League watch party. With that, it's the perfect segue into a guy who does it all here. He's a former Major League Soccer player. You hear him on Sirius every day of the week. And he is also the color analyst for Real Salt Lake, the next Dynamo opponent. But he's up on the game, I can tell you that. He is Brian Dunseth. Dunny, how are you, buddy? Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, my man, Glenn. I appreciate the time, as always.
Yeah, so let's we're going to get right into it with you because I got a lot to hit with you here. But let's start off with the Champions League final. I was so disappointed when Mo Salah went off because I wanted this thing to be determined by the best players on the field. So give me your take on the whole incident with Sergio Ramos and Mo Salah.
Yeah, it was cynical. He knows what he's doing. But for everyone out there that says that he's a dirty player, man, you might hate Sergio Ramos, but you'd love to have him on your team. He's a winner. There's no doubt about it. But like you said, you never want to see a player of Mo Salah's caliber and standard go missing, especially in such a high-profile game like that. So disappointed, there's no doubt about it. But the flip side is it sounds like and looks like Mo Salah will be available for Egypt, as he was seen walking around a Spanish airport today without a sling on his shoulder.
Yeah, so that's good news. And, boy, it was amazing how quick some of these news agencies were quick to say he's out of the World Cup. I could not believe that people were making that statement to try and drag people in and, cause that whole the BBC is putting that out literally right after the game. It was very, yeah, very disappointing to me. So let's go to what we do have to talk about, and that is La Decimo Tercera. It's three in a row. It's four out of the last 5 years. It's 13 overall. Zinedine Zidane has now won the Champions League three times in a span of about 2 years and a couple months.
And isn't it crazy that just a few months ago people were talking about, because of the struggles in La Liga, that he deserved to be sacked? He started a couple of injuries. And let's be honest, 17 points off the pace of Barcelona is a very, very ugly conversation to have if you're a Real Madrid fan. That being said, listen, you win Champions League, all the disappointment of the struggles in La Liga by itself go out the window, and the celebration of a team that lost Alvaro Morata and James Rodriguez in the offseason, and yet somehow with Marcos Asensio, Lucas Vasquez, and Isco picked up the pace. And then we get into Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale, who made it be known, and was a bit surprising that he would go public. I expected from Cristiano Ronaldo, didn't expect it from Gareth Bale. But now we have two guys on the backside that are maybe disrupting what the celebration should really look like for Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid. Both kind of talking about what their futures may hold. So fascinating time if you're a Madridista.
Is it pretty amazing that people just can't, for 24 hours, restrain themselves? You know, Ronaldo has to come out right away. Bale has to come out. And I'm saying this in deference to their teammates, you know. Can't we just celebrate this thing for 24 hours before you guys have to grab the limelight? It's
tough. Not when there's $600,000 per week on the table, I guess, for some of these guys.
Yeah.
When you think money doesn't matter, ego obviously comes into play. You don't want to see that, especially when it's three in a row. But, in some way, shape, or form, I guess it gives us the opportunity to peel back the curtain and get an understanding of maybe what happens behind the scenes, even for the biggest clubs in the world.
Does it ever bother you that, do you ever get cynical sometimes because it's so money-oriented? I sometimes do.
Yeah, I do. But maybe that's also because we played in the golden age of the Dick Butkus era, where we're ever going to retire based on the amount of money that we made throughout our career. I would love to be cashing some of these checks. I throw my back out with some of these wallets. But, yeah, listen, it's a part of the game. We know there's billions upon billions at play. Look no further than what Infantino is doing at FIFA and the billions of dollars he's looking to generate with all these leagues and restarting some of the different tournament formats. So expected, unfortunately. I don't think we're any further getting away from it than people trying to capitalize and monetize the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, when I hear 48 teams to the World Cup, so I was listening to you and Sirius, you and Tony Miola, and you and Tony were talking about the 48-team World Cup, and I was kind of surprised that Tony was all for it, and I'm kind of not. I'm like, hey, let's not mess with the sanctity of the World Cup. Look, I know from the perspective of dollars to be made, that's what it's all about. But, boy, I just hope that the sanctity, the uniqueness, and the just indelible moments that occur every 4 years with this thing are not sort of destroyed and nebulized.
Yeah, it is a fascinating argument. You know, at times I find myself maybe straddling both sides of the fence, Clint. You know, I look at what happened in the Euros, and I was like, you know, then you see countries like Wales, you see countries like Iceland, and all of a sudden they've really propelled themselves onto the national stage. And I wonder if that could potentially be something that could be remade during the World Cup. But then I get cynical. And then I just think about the money. I realize how much money you're generating. If you were to tell me that this money was going to be given to countries to develop the infrastructure that has previously struggled, then I'm all for it. But if you tell me that this is just to, quote-unquote, expand the World Cup and make it bigger and better, then I got a pretty big problem with it. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I mean, first and foremost, having the conversation about can not Russia, but the next World Cup in Qatar, can it handle the amount of teams, the amount of games, and the stadium requirements and commitments that it's going to take to house that type of World Cup? I think it's going to be a tough go.
He's Brian Dunseth. You can catch him on Counterattack on Sirius. I was listening to him on the way over here tonight. You guys were doing a wonderful job, as usual. It's one of my favorite listens. All right, let's switch gears here to the Dynamo at Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake comes off a huge win in Seattle, 1-0. Just talk about what that means to the club. And then just I want you to touch on Brooks Lennon and kind of the youth policy that's going on there.
Yeah, it's by necessity in a lot of ways because of some of the signings that haven't taken a hold. Yerabov sitting on 1.8 to 3 million. He's not even a part of the club. There's a buyout proposal in place. He's now playing a straight over in Sweden. A guy like Alfredo Ortuño, who's come over from the second division in Spain and has only featured three occasions for Real Salt Lake. But now you've missed out on 2-point strikers. But yet you've hit on a guy like Jefferson Savarino, Venezuelan international. Albert Rusnak from Slovakia, who went from a youth international to now a full international with Slovakia. And then guys like João Plata, guys like Damian Kreidlach coming from Union Berlin. But then you get into really a fascinating conversation about Fofo Salcedo, Danny Acosta, Justin Glad, and Brooks Lennon, all four who were starting for Tab Ramos in the Under-20 World Cup. It's been impressive to see these young players who've come through the academy and the homegrown process work their way into the first team. And oh, by the way, Aaron Herrera, who was the starting right back for Tab Ramos, who would be the fifth guy in this conversation, finally made his MLS debut last week in Seattle. There's ups and downs, and people talk about development and the culture of development in Major League Soccer. A lot of times that conversation is purely built on the press and the media commitment to the ideology of, quote-unquote, we're a development league, we're developing players in real time, but very few clubs actually give opportunities to those young players. So a bit of necessity, a bit of forward thinking, but a guy like Brooks Lennon, who was captured his signature by Liverpool out of Real Salt Lake's academy, has now come back and has given himself an opportunity to step on the field by sliding into the right back position with so many injuries for RSL to start 2018.
So now this is that was just a wonderful synopsis of the whole situation there. And we all know, and you and I know, there are coaches in this league that are brave with young players, and I would even say young American players, and there are those that are not brave with young American players. Is the use of young American players, is this a part of the fabric of the club? And do they make that public? In other words, do they tell the fan base in Salt Lake, and do they come out in the media and say, look, a big part of what we're going to do in the future is give opportunity to young players. We believe in this. Because I think sometimes we get so much lip service about new setups and things, and it really seems like Real Salt Lake is actually following through with it through action.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly talked about it. It has been a mantra for a while, with starting with Greg Vanney as the head of the academy down in Casa Grande and then transferring to Martin Vasquez. And little by little, guys started coming through. But listen, it always hasn't been clean. It always hasn't been easy. You know, a guy like Donnie Toya, who had come through the academy, was the first homegrown player signed. Because there wasn't the infrastructure of a USL side associated with it, he fell by the western wayside. He had to go from Chivas USA to Montreal to find himself in a starting spot. Deloy Hansen, the owner here at Real Salt Lake, has spent $80 million on bringing the academy up here to Salt Lake City and the development out in Harriman, which houses the Real Monarchs, the RSL Academy, and a STEM school all in one facility, as well as a soccer-specific stadium for Real Monarchs as a standalone to Rio Tinto Stadium, where RSL and Utah Royals, the NWSL side, are housed. Yes, they want to give young players the opportunity, but like you said, Glenn, there's a drastic difference between those who say they're giving teams a chance, or players a chance, and those who are actually realistically giving players a chance.
So what's the talk about the Houston Dynamo up in Salt Lake? Because I don't think there's any question. The Dynamo do pose fear with people going into games with the pace they got out wide and the wide game that they bring and an emerging number 10 in Tomas Martinez.
Yeah, really, really exciting, dynamic pieces that have been put together in a really impressive collective. When you think of one thing when I watched this last year, under Wilmer Cabrera, I saw a lot of positives. I saw a couple of glimpses of, I don't know, naive decision-making, which would come back to haunt them every once in a while. But this year, man, you look at a team that continues to be put together piece by piece, and, man, they can punish you in a split second, especially with the kind of creative front four, I guess I'll use the terminology. But what I look at right now is a team that has a mentality, a never-say-die mentality. Even if they're chasing the game, they're not going to completely back down and just throw their hands up in disgust and say, okay, we're out of it. They're going to play to the final whistle. And I think in this league, 90% of it is mentality. And I think that's exactly what I've been seeing from the Houston Dynamo this year.
Dunny, as always, great stuff. Thank you very much. We do appreciate you coming on the program and shedding some light on this. Let's do it again real soon. And thanks, as always, for coming on.
My man, anytime you need me, talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, he's Brian Dunseth. He's the analyst for Real Salt Lake. He played in Major League Soccer for a number of teams, also host of Sirius XM. As we head to break here, a quick reminder here for Kings Court. It's KingsCourtHouston.com. Go down there and see my friend Jay. Kings Court's got great British and Indian pub-style cuisine. Really unique. It's in Edo. It's near the downtown BBVA Stadium. Grab a meal in there. Go pregame for Dynamo. Go postgame for Dynamo and Dash. Bring your friends. Watch the game on the big screen or the number of different monitors in and around the place. It's the home to a number of supporters groups, including the Houston Red Army and Bayou City Blues. That is Kings Court. Let's take a break. We got more to come on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Nice catching up there with Brian Dunseth.
ESPN 97.5. Extreme ways are back again. Extreme places I didn't know.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We're going to wrap it up here tonight in big style. Before we do, just as the host of Soccer Matters, I want to remind you that Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, well, we have got a great sponsor in Bud Light. And what better way to celebrate with an ice cold Bud Light? So honor the great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Now, Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your favorite jersey, your World Cup jersey, your Dynamo jersey. Grab some friends, grab some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on, proudly brewed in Texas, and it is Bud Light, an official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We bring on now a good friend of soccer, a good friend of BBVA Compass Stadium, good friend of mine, Doug Hall, leading the charge right now, working for the Houston Sports Authority on bringing the World Cup to Houston. Before we bring Doug on, remember, June 13th, the day before Russia opens up the World Cup against Saudi Arabia, this summer, is the vote, and it's between a unified bid between the United States, Mexico, and Canada against Morocco to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Pause for a second and think about hosting a World Cup here in the United States again since 1994 and how that could accelerate the sport in so many different ways. And we bring him on right now, Doug Hall. Doug, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Great to talk soccer and great to talk about the potential for World Cup.
Well, you and I know that this is a great soccer city. Before we get to Houston, let's just talk about the announcement on the 13th for the 2026 World Cup and the U.S. Joint bid with Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and why we think this should go to the joint unified bid as opposed to Morocco.
Well, it's the first time that, as you mentioned, the United Bid Committee is the three countries, and for a long time, as you know, the United States has not had a favorable reputation around the world in a lot of ways. And so bringing Mexico and Canada together and making the United bid really, I think, repositioned the United States. And it truly is a three-country bid. And so that's really unique and the first time it's been done. And, you know, Morocco, while a great country, certainly doesn't have the infrastructure that, you know, the three countries in the United Bid fold does, and, you know, nor the history. And so, you know, we think it's awesome, an awesome opportunity. And as you know, the last time that the World Cups were up for bid in 2010, it went to Russia in 18 and Qatar in 22. So this is the first time it's been reopened, and you know there's been a lot of changes in FIFA since then. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, rather controversially, those two were awarded. If the bid is won by the unified group, which includes again the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, how many matches would be hosted in the United States? How many in Mexico? How many in Canada? Do we know that?
We do know. Well, one of the unique things about 2026 is that they've expanded to 48 entries, right, from 32. And so what that's done is taken the match count up. So each host city we anticipate would host either five or six matches over the 32-day period. So, you know, we talk about Final Fours and Super Bowls, and that's one or two events over a 3 or 4 day period. You know, this would be potentially six soccer matches over a 32-day period. And as you said, since 94, you know, we've never seen that type of event in the United States and certainly not in Houston.
He's Doug Hall joining us from Houston Sports Authority. All right, you and I know the virtues and all the selling points of Houston. If the unified bid is won by the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, honestly, I sit here and I say there's no possible way Houston can't have this. Tell me a way Houston doesn't get this event.
Well, that's a great question. Number one, with the unified, we know there's probably going to be 16 or 17 host cities in the three countries, and almost certainly Canada and Mexico will get three each. So that leaves about 10 or 11 United States cities for out of 17 that have gotten their paperwork in and put the said we want to go forward with the bid. So, you know, call it 10 out of 17. I like our chances there. But you never can tell. Politics always play a role. Financials always play a role. Geographic locations. You know, Dallas hosted the was a major host in 1994, and so they've got a great track record, one of the biggest stadiums in the country, right, at AT&T. And so there might be some opposition to putting two host cities in the state of Texas, right, out of 10 or 11. So that's one way that it could happen. But do I like our chances? Absolutely. We've done so many great things in soccer in this city and continue to host big events in this city. So I like our chances, but you never can tell when it's up for vote.
He's Doug Hall, Houston Sports Authority. He is, what I said, leading the charge, bringing the World Cup to Houston. Again, that is provided that the joint bid amongst from United States, Mexico, and Canada wins out over Morocco. You did mention the politics of Morocco, and I know you and I talked off air, but I'm just thinking Morocco, you had mentioned, will have to build a whole bunch of infrastructure. And I'm saying to myself, why in God's name would Morocco be spending millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on stadiums when that money could be used for the citizens of the country?
Well, I mean, that is an age-old question on these world events. And you could have said the same thing for, you know, Russia and the Winter Olympics and Beijing and the Summer Olympics. But at the end of the day, all of the two countries want these events, you know, to increase their prestige, to increase tourism, to give them a world platform. And nothing does that like the World Cup. So why would Morocco want to do that? That's why they would want to do that. And whether they're willing to put up the money to do that, you know, and whether that's a good decision, that's for somebody else to decide. But that's certainly, you know, there's no greater platform in the world of sports than the World Cup.
So, Doug, I mean, one thing that's obvious that may play into the favor of Morocco is the fact that FIFA really has been trying to bring the World Cup to differing parts of the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, soccer's got a great platform in Mexico, Canada, the United States already. And if you take it to North Africa, where it's not as developed, I mean, there is no greater platform, you know, than the World Cup to introduce it and the legacy. And part of what we put together in these bids is, you know, what are you doing to grow the game? How can you do it? How can you involve the youth? How can you involve, you know, all of the people to make this a win-win? So that could be a reason why they go to North Africa. Politics and money are obviously a part of it, but growing the game is certainly, you know, I believe it was one of FIFA's honest objections, and certainly, you know, that would give them an opportunity to do that.
So if we were to get it here in Houston, I mean, does that mean infrastructure has to be sort of recircumvented, and what would have to happen here from an infrastructure standpoint in Houston in order to get the World Cup here?
Yeah, so what will happen is there will really be a two-year period. If United Bid Committee wins it, then we go for it as a potential host city, and then within a couple of years, FIFA is the actual is a group that comes in and makes the decision and makes that selection. Infrastructure-wise, we're in great shape here. I mean, the stadium, NRG Stadium, has obviously, you know, hosted great events and will continue to upgrade itself and stay positive. Interestingly, you know, hotels are always an issue on when you do citywide events like this, and transportation. One of the things that they ask for and their expectation coming, you know, primarily Europe-based is, you know, providing free mass transportation for everybody to come to the game, no parking on site. Well, that's not something we have and not something we promised we would do. But we certainly said we would step up our game with metro and public transportation to get people back and forth, even from the airports into downtown. That's not something that we have done for other events. But again, you know, with the European influence, that's very much an expectation. So we'll have to work on that. But and we'll have to build some training sites and practice sites. You know, they want practice sites with two pitches for each team. We would potentially host referees here. So we've got a lot of work to do, but it's nothing we haven't done before. We just haven't done it for the World Cup. And so it would be a great opportunity for us to really grow the game and grow the platform in our city and continue to, you know, host, you know, fantastic worldwide events here in this market. So we're just happy to be at the table.
FIFA, does FIFA tell you, Doug, what sort of categories you guys need to hit? I mean, do they give you an outline as to, you know, what are the categories you need to nail in order to get this thing to Houston?
It's interesting. You know, some bids are very specific. I've been working on the men's Final Four, and they're very specific about they want what they want. in the World Cup bid, this time was very open-ended. Tell us what you're going to do to grow the game. Tell us about your infrastructure. You know, there's certain expectations that they outline, but they don't say in priority order, you know, you've got to nail these things. And they left it fairly open-ended. You know, we expect to negotiate on these types of items, and we'll come back to you when we have more details. So, you know, it's an unusual process. So we're not quite there at that point. But, you know, when they get down to 17 cities for 10 slots, I expect them to come, you know, with a lot more instructiveness and saying, this is what you have to do to get there. But we feel like we'll be prepared for that when we get that opportunity.
He's Doug Hall, Houston Sports Authority, leading the charge and bringing the World Cup here to Houston, Texas. Of course, on the 13th of June, there will be a decision on where the 2026 World Cup will be held. It will be either the unified bid of the United States, Mexico, and Canada, or Morocco. You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, gosh, World Cup in Houston, biggest sporting event in the world, and we would be a part of it, and what that would mean to our city. Can you add on to that?
I think, as I said earlier, we've never hosted a 32-day event in this city, and I just think people have an expectation or don't have an expectation of what it's been. And for those who have been to World Cups in other countries, how big and how motivated and how integrated it becomes, because you're not just paying attention to the five or six matches in your city. You're paying attention to every match, and it goes on for 32 straight days. And so that's something we haven't seen before. And I just think people still don't understand how big the World Cup is, you know, in relation to some of the other events we've done. And I think it will blow people away, and I think it will continue to grow the game of soccer in our country. And it'd just be an awesome opportunity for our city.
No doubt about it. So much to be gained from it. Doug, thank you very much for joining us. I look forward to having you on and keeping us updated. And you'll be the first guy I call on the 13th, hopefully when the United States, Mexico, and Canada win the unified bid to host the 2026 World Cup, because to have that in Houston would be absolutely amazing.
Doug, thank you for all you do for soccer.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. We appreciate you having
us.
All right, that's Doug Hall from the Houston Sports Authority. Man, so many things happening at the Sports Authority. They just had that great, that whole event honoring Hakeem Olajuwon, Nolan Ryan, and Earl Campbell. Man, it was so exciting to be a part of that, and it was so much fun. Last little hit here on the way out. For my friends down at Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. In fact, I've leased and bought from Advantage numerous times. I love the drive of the BMW. For me, it's like no other. I got a 5 Series. Absolutely love it. And it is the ultimate driving machine. Now, the other thing I like at Advantage BMW, and this is perfect for me, is I'm not like the under-the-hood car guy. I admit that. It's another one of my many limited areas. But I am not good getting under the hood of the car. Never got that gene. And they got amazing customer service. It's second to none. Advantage BMW, they got you covered. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get yourself in a 3, 5, or 7 Series at Advantage BMW in Midtown and get that Houston hometown advantage. That's why I shop Advantage. Advantage BMW Houston, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That does it tonight for producer extraordinaire Jose Partida. I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central, remember, soccer matters.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.